I praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to pour yourself through me. I'm sure the simple word today, Lord, and just give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us. And help us to know, Father, that you do all things well and that your word is perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm going to speak to you today about three nines. Okay? Three nines. And we're back in Sunday school. We're in the book of Matthew, and we're going through the Beatitudes, okay? So that's the first set of nines, and I'm not going to go into any of them because, you know, we're talking about them back there, and if you ain't listening and you ain't coming back there, then you don't get to know what's all about. Shame on you. But anyway, the first one is the Beatitudes. And you know, I like that word Beatitudes because it's basically saying be these attitudes. And you know, if the word of God says be, guess what? It is, and it happens. Let there be what? Light, and there was light. And everything that he said, let there be, it became. Praise God. So I'm just going to read these first nine to you. I'm not going to go into no explanations or nothing because we'll save that for Sunday school back here, okay? And if you don't know them, it's because you didn't come to Sunday school. Anyway, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I told them back in Sunday school this morning, I was telling them, that's the fifth one there, and five is the number for grace of God's goodness. Well, he put it right in the right place, didn't he? Because that's what his mercy is all about, the grace of his goodness, you know. The next one is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you, which were before you. Wow. Those are beautiful. That's nine, okay? The next nine I'm going to talk to you about is 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. And this is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, to profit everybody. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse types of tongues, different types of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Nine, that's nine of them. Okay, the next nine is this. Nine's a very important word. That's an important number. It says, and this is Galatians 5:22-5:23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And against such there is no law. Boy, we need to be free of the law of sin and death. We need to be free of the law of feeling guilty about things. I tell you what, we need to ask God. We were talking about pruning back there a little bit, you know, in Sunday school. We need to ask God to prune on us, get them old shears out and cut off everything that's not producing the fruit of life. And I tell you what, it's not always a pleasant thing as that happens. Sometimes it's a painful thing. And sometimes we have to be even go through situations where God reveals to us that our fruit ain't too ripe. It might be there, but it's a little sour. I've told you all the story. I've told you all the story different times, and I've shared it many times over the years. And you know what? I learned a long time ago, a good teacher repeats themselves. Because until you get it, you got to keep telling people until they hear it. And when I was a little kid, I lived next door to this place. I lived on Sycamore Hill over Mount Auburn in Cincinnati. And that at one time, years and years ago before we moved in there, was kind of a German-type place. You know, Italians and Germans and people like that lived in there. And the people next door to us, we lived in an apartment building, and the people next door to us, they owned their own house, and they had a grape arbor back there. And I love grapes. So I was a grape thief. I'd go over there and get grapes. They told me I could get them. I really didn't steal them, but they didn't care because they didn't do nothing with them. But, you know, I was kind of bad because I knew there was, I like all kinds of grapes. I like the red ones. I like the purple ones. I like the green ones. I like all of them. I just love grapes. Matter of fact, Margaret just told me that she'd bought a bunch of grapes and she'd bought some watermelon. And I was trying to eat the watermelon so that the grapes, you know, I knew they'd last longer. The watermelon gets kind of funky after a while if you don't eat it. So I was trying to eat the watermelon, and she says, "Well, you're not eating the grapes." I said, "Yeah, I'm eating them. I said, "Leave them alone, I'll eat them." And then last night she says, "Should I throw these grapes away?" I said, "No. If there's something all wrinkly or something, you pitch them, I'll eat the other ones." Well, I'm here to tell you, there's no more grapes. They're gone. I ate them, okay? But anyway, I used to sometimes, I'd see them grapes growing out there. I'd see the flowers come out on that vine, and they were beautiful. Then next thing you know, I'd see a little green bud come out. Next thing, it'd be a pretty good-sized bulb there, green. And those were purple Concord grapes. They would get pretty big and get purpley, you know, color. Well, because I loved the grapes so much, I'd try to eat them, even when they was green. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing as sour as an unripened grape. They are terrible, because when you bite into them, I guarantee you, you will spit them back out. But I was persistent, and year after year, I'd still try to eat a green one here and there. But, you know, I think God uses things that makes sense to us. You know, because he knew a lot of the people back in those days were farmers. They grew their own food. So he used things in the Word of God that are simple. They're not real complicated. Why did he call it the fruit of the Spirit? Because everybody likes fruit. You know, somebody can say, "Well, I don't like fruit." I guarantee you there's some kind of fruit that you like. You're probably drinking it in some soda or some punch or something, and it's got that flavor of that fruit somewhere, somehow. And I'm going to tell you, I like a lot of fruits. I mean, some people like bananas. They're crazy about bananas. Other people like grapes. Some people like oranges. Margaret loves oranges. Some little, what do they call them? The little teeny ones. She likes them. Clementine type things. That's what it is. But they're called cuties, the ones she likes. She always gets the ones that are called cuties. She loves them things, and she'll get a bag of them. And I never eat one. She'll eat that whole bag, but she keeps them for a long time and gradually eats them. But she loves oranges. Well, you know, that's the thing. God knew that we all love certain things, you know. And he even used those things in his word when he called it the fruit of the Spirit, love. That was the first thing. And you know, you really could almost just stop right there. Love, joy. What a wonderful thing to be joyous. I love to hear part. You know, sometimes there's times when I wish Margaret had never got a cell phone, because she likes to watch little funny videos on the cell phone. She finds the funniest ones, and I hear her just in the other room just laughing and laughing and laughing. And sometimes she'll say, "Hey, let me show you this," and she'll tell me. And I don't have as good a sense of humor as she does. I'll have to admit that. But she has a really good sense of humor. Mark has the same kind of sense of humor as his mom does. But anyway, she'll show me these little jokes, and she'll laugh, and I laugh at them some. But she's just having a joyous time in there laughing. And I know, what does Scripture talk about joy, about a merry heart? It's like a medicine. And then I think when you laugh, it tickles your heart or something. It massages it or does something to it. But you feel better after you laughed, you know. And anyway, so joy was the next one. And, you know, when you think about joy, a lot of times I've heard people say, well, so-and-so lost their joy, you know. Well, I've said this before, but I love that dish detergent that's called Joy Dish Detergent. And all you got to do if you're going to do dishes is just put a couple little drops of joy in your water and then stir it around. And it cuts through the grease and the grime and all that when you're doing your dishes. And I don't do a whole lot of dishes, but I'll have to admit that. I don't do a whole lot of dishes. But I do know it works. And Margaret one time, I can't remember if it was Joy or if it was shampoo, where a fireman told her that the best way to clean windows after they've been a fire was to mix a little bit of that stuff in water and wash your windows with it. It cuts right through all that gunk and stuff and that burnt stuff. But anyway, joy, you know, joy is wonderful. Well, peace, you know, they've been trying to have peace over in the Middle East ever since I've been alive. I was born in 1947, and that's about the year that Israel became a state over there. And they've been trying to have peace in every one of the years that I've been alive over there, and there's not been peace. They'll get it for a little while, and then they fight back and forth. But, you know, there's never going to be peace in the Middle East until they learn to know the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus Christ. And until Jesus Christ, you know, he told them one time, he stood over Israel and he wept. And he told them, he said, "You'll not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'" And guess who's going to come in the name of the Lord? You are. You are. You know, when you were born, he gave you his name. You know, there's no power under earth that's not above the name of Jesus. By his name, or if you want to say the Hebrew form of that, Yahshua, you know, there's no other. Everything that was created by his word. What he said in the beginning, let there be, and it was. You know, all things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that is made. That takes it all in, folks, everything. And there's never going to be peace in the Middle East until they hear people coming saying, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," and begins to teach them how to be at peace. You know, the bride of Christ is going to have to come out of the heavens. You know, the bride of the Christ. You know who that is? It's you. You got to get your mind out of worrying about going to heaven all the time and bring heaven down here in this earthly realm. You know, when in the book of Revelations, it talks about New Jerusalem coming down from above, which is the mother of us all, basically, and it talks about her being adorned as a bride. And the word Jerusalem, if you break it down in the Hebrew and Greek and stuff, what it means is to aim with the finger, to point, to teach, and it means peace. Jerusalem, Salem, teach peace. And you know, we're going to have to teach them how to be at peace. But what we're going to do, the way we're going to teach them is by introducing them to Jesus Christ. You know, I keep seeing things where they're saying that all these appearances are happening over in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if they're happening or not. I mean, I'm not there, so I don't know. I'm just going by what some people are saying. But they're saying that angels are appearing in the sky and all kind of things are happening. And we don't know what's going on right now. We don't know when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will come that'll really set creation free. We do know how it's going to come when it happens, because it's in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the unveiling, the taking the lid off of the sons of God. And you know, a lot of people think that it's going to be just Jesus appearing. I got news for you. He's already here. What was the Antichrist? Antichrist was those who didn't think he'd come in the flesh. Guess what? He said, I have to go away because I can't send you to comfort if I don't go away. And when he went away into the spirit realm, he sent us the comforter, which was his spirit crying what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And there's coming a time, and I don't know when it is, and I don't know how it's going to all happen, but I can tell you this, there's coming a time when we're going to grow up. All creation's groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not a son of God, the sons of God. You know, we were born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And I got news for you. That seed cannot bring forth anything but God. Because each seed is after its own kind. And it has to bring forth God in our lives. And it brings forth God in our lives. When people see him as he is, they'll be just like him. And what do you mean as he is? He said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. What was that glory? He was the Father. The fullness of the Father. He was the Father. You know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you know what? That the world is waiting to see Jesus. And they're going to see him in you. They're going to see him in the body of Christ standing up as a mature man in Christ and setting creation free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And that's what it's going to take. That next one there was long-suffering. Long-suffering. You know, that's not a fun one. Long-suffering. Nobody likes to suffer for a long time. But I tell you what, Scripture says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory that shall be revealed, where at? In us. Not to us, in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because they'll be set free into the liberty of being the children of God. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what. So any suffering that you go through, it's okay. It might not be fun, but I tell you what. When you come to the full end of that thing, God's his nature is going to be so revealed and so. And Scripture says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by what? The things that he suffered. And I got news for you. Sometimes we just have to suffer some things, and that's okay. I mean, nobody wants to suffer, but that's okay. The next one after that was gentleness. I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you what will make you more gentle with other people than anything else. Go through the same thing that they went through. And realize you were standing on that side of the wall at one time. You had those same pains. You had those same problems. You had those same depressions. You had all of the things in your life that they had. And then all of a sudden, you can be gentle with them. You can say, I know where you're at, honey. I feel your pain. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to magnify God in your life. You can do that. The next one after that is goodness. Goodness. You know, they came to Jesus one time and they said, good master. And what did he say? What was his reply? Why do you call me good? He said, there's none good but God. So all of your goodness that you think you got, it ain't good. It's no good. The only goodness there is God. And when the goodness of God starts coming out of you completely, then you won't only be good, you can knock one of them O's out of there. It'll be godness. It'll be godness. It'll be his presence in your life. People will see him as he is, a many-membered body. You know, the heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things. Everybody's looking for Jesus to pop through the clouds and bring everything back. But I tell you what, he's going to pop through the cloud inside of you first. He's going to pop through the cloud inside of you. And the last one there is faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And how shall they hear? He sends forth preachers. And guess what? Your life sometimes preaches more than any sermon in the world. If you treat somebody good when they don't deserve to be treated good, when you're kind to somebody when they're not very kind to you, when you still show them love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, and, you know, guess what? Then all of a sudden, the faith will get stirred in there because your life is preaching something to them. We had a guy that worked for us, and he was our truck driver, and he looked like he just stepped out of the big-time wrestling ring, Mark can tell you. Huge guy, muscles, devil things all over, skeletons, big tattoos all over his arms and stuff. I mean, he was a dude, buddy. I'm telling you, I wouldn't have wanted to meet him in a dark alley if he was mad at me. He was something else. But you know what? I got to know him, and he came to me different times, and he said, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He said, can you tell me why you can stay so peaceful and stuff all the time? And I said, well, it's not because of me. It's because of Jesus Christ. I said, do you know the Lord is your Lord and Savior? He said, I've tried to go forth before. And he says, but I just have a problem with getting angry and stuff. And I talked to him, and apparently when he was in school, because he was so big and strong and all that kind of stuff, he wasn't real educated. You know, didn't hardly have much education. And because the kids, I guess, would pick on him about that, he'd beat everybody up. I mean, he could. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to tangle with him. I'm not a little guy, and he was a huge guy. I mean, he looked like he could whip Hulk Hogan and them guys. I mean, but anyway, you know, different times he got into problems, and we let him work for us a long time, and we finally had to let him go because he was driving a forklift truck and he'd run into the machines or he'd almost knock something over on somebody or something. And he was out driving our stake bed truck one time, and we had a big sheet of iron laying in the back of it. I mean, flat iron, you know. And we had the biggest stake bed truck at that point that, you know, that they made. Any bigger than that, it had to be a semi. And my brother told him to drill that thing down and put screws in it. Well, he didn't do that. And he went flying around the corner down here, and that thing slid off, and it slid and dug down into the ground. Well, if there had been a car there, it would have sheared the top off him, killed anybody that was beside him, you know what I mean. So eventually we had to let him go. You know, and my brother told me, he says, I'm going to have to let BJ go. And I said, yeah. He says, I want you in here with me. I said, well, okay, I guess. No, I thought, I'll come in there with you. But, you know, I've seen him a couple of times since then. And, you know, he was always real meek and mild when I talked to him and stuff. And I think he was really kind of a big teddy bear if you got to know him in the right way. But you know what? We have to realize that you have to show people the love of God. You can't just tell them about it. We were talking about that back in Sunday school. And I'm not saying, I know that we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. But I will tell you, if you don't show some works once in a while, people ain't going to believe you. It'll just be empty words if you don't show them some love or some mercy or help them when they need help or anything like that. But I just want you to know that the fruit of the Spirit was those things. I'm going to read them to you again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. There was nine things. And I'm going to tell you what the number nine means here. Number nine in those numbers I gave you years ago has the meaning of fruit of the Spirit, divine completeness from the Lord. And until we get the fruit of the Spirit, we don't have that divine completeness. We are complete in Him, and He tells us that we're complete, but we're in a process of being developed with that fruit. Just like I go climb over that fence and try to eat that sour grape. It was a grape. There was no doubt about it. But boy, it was sour. And a lot of times with Christians, you climb over the wall to try to help them or something, and maybe they get a little sour with you. Maybe they get a little grumpy with you or whatever. But I want you to know, just give them some time. Enough sunshine, enough rain. And sometimes you got to throw a little fertilizer on there, and God will throw a little fertilizer. And you know usually most of the time what fertilizer is made out of, don't you? Most of the time, the best fertilizer is usually animal waste. I'll put it in, don't get mad at me. It's crap if you get down to it. And we all get that thrown at us at times, and we all get exposed to it at times. But let me tell you what, that's what causes growth. Praise God. All right, I'm going to read you a little bit more, and here it is. Now Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour to pray, being what hour do you think it was? The ninth hour. Oh, even nine keeps popping up. Ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried there, and they laid him there daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he asked alms of them entering into the temple. And I looked up that word beautiful, and it literally has the meaning of belonging to the right hour or the right season. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you feel like you're laying at the gate. You've been praying about something for years and years and years, and it just ain't happened. But it ain't the right hour, and it ain't the right season yet. But when that right hour and that right season comes along, whatever God dims that, causes that to be, then guess what? And and let me go on down here a minute. I'm losing my place here. Anyway, it was the beautiful temple. And I will tell you this. Josephus, the book of Josephus, he was a historical writer in Jesus' time. There was nine gates that led into the temple. And there was 12 gates. There was nine, though, that were covered with gold and with silver. And then there was three that were covered in brass. But this brass was an expensive, rare brass. And it was just very, very expensive. It was more magnificent than the gold and the silver gates. And that was the gate Beautiful. And that looks, and we know brass is a type of judgment, don't we? It means usually a type of judgment. But I tell you what, Peter and John seeing the man, they were going into the temple. Man asked alms of an uncertain affinity. That means, I'll tell you what it is. It's compassion, human or divine, especially active. That's what the word alms means. And it says, and he gave them heed, and expecting to receive from them. The man was expecting. Let me tell you what, when you ask for prayer, expect to receive something. If you don't have an expectancy a lot of times, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. Have an expectancy. Expect God to move. Come in here on Sunday mornings Expect God to minister to you in some way. Expect him to speak to you somehow. Expect to go out of the doors encouraged. If you don't have an expectancy, you're not going to get anything. And he was expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, now think about this one, nine of those gates, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he not only said that to him, he reached down and took him by the hand. Sometimes we got to reach down and take people by the hand, give them a little hand up. And I tell you what, sometimes that giving that hand up will cause that faith to enter into their being. Amen. You know, that one time when Jesus, lady touched the hem of his garment, and when she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. And he said, "Who touched me?" And she said, "I did." And you know what? He healed her. And I don't think she was a Jewish person. I think she was somebody else. I don't remember it exactly. But anyway, she got healed. And different times when he'd be praying for him, they'd say, "Lord, help my unbelief." And sometimes people will even ask you, "Man, I have a hard time believing. Help my unbelief." And that's when you need to get in there and say, "Brother, I believe for you. I believe for you. Two or more agree is touching on something. God said he'd do it." And you start believing for him. And you know what? It said he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles and bones received strength. And he leaping up, he don't need to just get up. He leaped up. Think about that one. Leaping and leaping up and walking and entering into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. And you know what? It's time for people to start wondering at the goodness of God, wondering at the mercy of God, wondering at the healing of God, all of those things. So praise God. That's all I had to share with you today. And I want you to know that God does everything well. Yes, he does everything well. And you can't just have one of these nines. You've got to have all three of them. You've got to have all three of them. And if you have all three of these nines working in your life, buddy, some mighty, mighty things is going to begin to happen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And I will, let's see here a minute. Let me see if I can see something here. Guess what 27 means? 3 times 9 is 27. Preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel. And that's where you begin to show them the fruit of the Spirit, by preaching. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Scripture says, how shall they hear? By preaching. And that don't mean you got to be a preacher, because you're all preachers. Praise God. It's not just a guy that stands up here behind this pulpit. All of you are preachers. Praise God. If you'll stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I ask you, Father, to just minister these words to people's hearts. Let them just totally understand that you do all things well. And that, Father, you're trying to bring us to a place of growing up to that mature fruit, that not only can we tell people about you, but we can even reach in and touch their lives and show them about you. In Jesus' name I pray. I ask you to bless our food and our fellowship as we go back in the back today. We give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.